as we're swiftly proceeding through the Easter season, which of course still has a few weeks to go. We will see soon, we will be celebrating the ascension of our Lord into heaven, and then the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and the feast of the Most Holy Trinity, the fullness of the revelation of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We see how the early church grew immediately after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. In one place to the other, the apostles and disciples went to preach the good news. And then, of course, part of this good news, as we see in the gospel, and if perhaps one of the most difficult parts, is that we should love one another. It's much easier to fight and bicker and carry on and insult one another than it is to love one another. And yet that's what our Lord makes it to be. And he says, this is how they will know who you are, if you love one another. In the meantime, of course, we saw how last Saturday we grew by a few more Catholics who were baptized and confirmed and made their first communion on Sunday. Of course, they will be here tomorrow to give praise and thanks to God for this great gift which we share with them, that we have been cleansed of our sins in baptism, that we have been strengthened by the Holy Spirit of God in our confirmation, and that we are being fed every time we go to Mass and communion by the body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ. This itself is where we get that love one another. This is how it happens. This is how it grows and goes forth. Without all this, it is impossible. In the meantime, of course, on this particular Sunday, of which we celebrate the vigil, the new Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV, is going to be crowned or enthroned in the chair of Peter. And, of course, this is what officially begins his apostolic work. But most people don't realize that there is another facet which has not happened yet, and it cannot happen yet, and that is on the day, whatever day it may be, he will choose that he is taken to the Cathedral of Rome, the cathedral which we know as St. John Lateran, but it's actually the Basilica, the Arch-Basilica of the Most Holy Redeemer and of St. John the Baptist and St. John the Evangelist. It is the Cathedral of Rome, the head church of Rome and of all the world. And there he is seated on the throne of Peter. That is how he takes official possession of his diocese. And so that has not happened yet. And only they will let us know perhaps tomorrow when that will take place. And so we give thanks to God. We see already many indices of the improvements that he hopes to make. Of course, when he first came out on the balcony, we saw a big improvement when he came out dressed as Supreme Pontiff, not just like anybody. And then, of course, in the meantime, he has spoken to different groups, especially his own religious order, because he is a canon of St. Augustine, and then to the brothers of La Salle, St. Jean-Baptiste de La Salle, who founded the Order of Christian Schools. And in all these things he has, and also to the bishops of the Eastern Rites of the Church. And most of the rites of the Church are Eastern. We are one, the Roman Rite, the biggest, but yet it's only one. There are many rites of the church. And he reminded us and them how their liturgy, which is much more beautiful, longer, glorified, musical in every way from the very beginning to the end, just like the High Mass tomorrow, their regular Sunday Mass lasts at least 3 hours. It is with much reverence and love for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and with much reverence and love for His Holy Mother. And of course, His example on the first day as Pope, the first thing He did was to go to visit Our Lady of Good Counsel in Genazzano, a shrine where we ourselves have celebrated Mass on many, many different occasions. And so, already showing us the liturgy and reverence and the Blessed Mother are three of the marks of His new pontificate. So we pray for Him as we continue to pray for the Church, and that the Holy Spirit has given us, perhaps, because He's not always involved, but it seems like this time He was. And from what I understand, it was almost a unanimous election at the College of Cardinals in the conclave. Now, how could this be, since most people don't know each other? The Holy Spirit must have been involved. And by the way, I did go to school with him, though I don't quite remember him so well. But the memories come back. So today, we, in a very, very special way, give thanks to God for the new Pope, Leo XIV. Leo, who gave us all the devotions and prayers to St. Michael and the exorcisms to St. Michael, who gave us so many prayers to the Blessed Mother and also for the Mass. And already he has shown that he intends to, little by little, bring back Latin into the Mass and the life of the Church. He sang the Regina Coeli, which we sing here every day, last Sunday from the balcony of St. Peter's. No Pope has ever done that before, not even John Paul II, who is so devoted to the Blessed Mother. So these are indices of what his pontificate will be like. So for those things, we give thanks to God, and we pray for him that he indeed may rule the Church with wisdom and reverence and love. In addition, today I ask for your special prayers. Our diocese, which this year is 50 years old, soon will be mourning the founder of our diocese, His Excellency, Most Reverend Henry René Bracina, who was of late Bishop of Corpus Christi, and who is 102 years old, and who also celebrates the traditional Mass. He is on his deathbed. So pray for him. He has sepsis, from which very few people survive. Poison of the blood. So his time has come after so many, many years. And so we pray for him. And he is the one who brought me here. If it were not for him, I would not be here. I would be in Rome. Maybe I would have been in the conclave too. But nevertheless, I'm here. So we pray for Bishop Gracida, who founded this diocese and tried to do the best he could. In nomine Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.